You're listening to On Assignment by God, the daily blog and podcast. What did the Lord God say to me this morning? Hey y'all, good morning and welcome to another episode of On Assignment by God, the daily blog and daily podcast. I am your host, Fun Strong James. And y'all, today I got the overflow. Holy Spirit was on a roll and my fingers were moving super fast as I wrote down what he said to me about serving him, how to do business, and why worrying hinders him from moving. So without further ado, let's jump straight into it. The first thing I heard the Holy Spirit tell me as I was getting dressed was, keep serving me simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Y'all, that was some real encouragement, okay? Because I still low-key, be trying to check off some of these habitual prayer lifestyle boxes to ensure I do things the way I did them before. But God wanted me to stop overcomplicating it and just keep it simple. And when I thought about that more, I was like, yeah, you know, I do be making this more complicated than it is sometimes, especially when I learn new things. But he's saying, don't let the new things overcomplicate things. It's simple. Pray, listen, write, obey. Pray, listen, write, obey. Pray, listen, write, obey. Okay, let me keep going. As I continued to listen, I was flipping my Bible open for our Bible study, our scriptural Bible study. And before I got there, I landed in Matthew on a page that had like this Q&A. Y'all know I rock with the Tony Evans study Bible, so they have different pullouts and Q&As and stuff like that. But what I got from what I read that I know I was meant to get today was, don't let whatever or whomever you're worried about become an idol or a little g god. Because when you worry, you are hindering the true God from meeting the need that is causing you to worry. That was for me right there. Was that for you too? I mean, woo. I know. That at least one listener got that, if not more. I know that gave at least one listener some relief. Because you've been worrying or being like me, overcomplicating things. And all we're doing when we do that, y'all, is hindering God. That's all we're doing. We hindering God when we worry, when we overcomplicate things. So let's agree to stop that, okay? The other thing that the Holy Spirit told me this morning was some specific directions for my business. Now, I'm not going to go all into it because that's my business, as Tabitha Brown would say, because that's my business. But I won't go all into it because it was specific for me. But what I will share is that he said to build my team and to remember that I had already walked out this model before when I was working for somebody else. Did y'all catch that? He said, you already know what to do because you've done it before with someone else's business. See, y'all, God don't waste no experiences from our lives. I mean, nothing. I'm over here trying to figure out what to do. And he said, you already did it before. And catch this. He also told me to remember that he said this before. He did, y'all. He did. I mean, God is not a man that he should lie. He did tell me this before. He told me this back in October of 2019. I have it written in my journal. Y'all, sometimes we just need to be reminded of what he already said. Pray, listen, write, obey. Clearly, these instructions are simple and uncomplicated, okay? So that's what he said to me this morning. Now, we're going to transition and jump into our scriptural Bible study, Acts chapter 24. Let's go. Okay, First of all, I gotta admit something to y'all. I wrote down so much for today's Bible study, and I wish I could just like take a picture of my journal or just do this podcast version. But y'all know, my podcast listeners, some of y'all like to listen and you like to read. Like, I got some real readers on the blog, so I couldn't do that to them, okay? And I know podcast listeners, y'all gonna get it like I wanted to give it anyway. But for the blog readers who are listening, shout out to you, because I did write the whole thing out. So here we go. We're in Acts 24, right? Paul had been accused by the Jews, and we left off yesterday with the commander sending Paul to Governor Felix to get him away from the fake fasting mob that wanted to kill him, right? Okay, so you caught up now. Okay, Paul is basically in protective custody at the palace, and it took the accusers 5 days to get to Paul. And guess who they decided to bring with them? And it wasn't really the accused. It was like the elders that came, right? It really wasn't the accusers that we'll later find out. The accusers weren't even there. But guess who they decided to bring with them? A lawyer. Yeah, they went and found a one called that's all lawyer named Tertullus or Tertullus. We don't know how to say his name, but Tertullus. It might have been, I don't know. But he presented their case to the governor. Now, before they presented their case against Paul, they had to puff the head up of the governor with all kind of compliments. You know how people be like, oh, you so great. Well, let me come to you, governor. And before we get started, I just want to tell you that you are running this pandemic so well, and you are doing such a great job, and we are getting all the benefits of everything that you're doing, and we just love you so much. That's how I was reading it in my mind, because I was like, whatever, Tertullus. Okay, y'all just gassing the governor up. That's all y'all doing. That's what the young people say, gassing them up, for the people that are like, what? What do you mean gassing them up? You know, blowing up his head, giving him the big head. You know what I'm saying? So after they did that little bit with the governor, they started accusing Paul. Y'all, they were name calling big time too. They said Paul was a plague. Okay, have you ever called anybody a plague? You old plague. Like, they said Paul was a plague, a whole plague. I don't know if it was because plague started with a P and they were trying to, you know, have that, you know how some lawyers be, you know, sounding out, whatever. He's a plague and he's an agitator and the ringleader of the Nazarene gang. That's what he is. And they just accusing Paul of straight being a plague, an agitator, and a ringleader of the Nazarene gang. Okay, they didn't call it the Nazarene gang. They said a sect of the Nazarenes. But we know that they were referring to the fact that Jesus grew up in Nazareth. And I can see Paul looking at him like, yeah, no doubt I represent JC. I represent Jesus Christ to the day I die, cuz all day, every day. You heard me? That's just my rendition, you know? But that's how, in my mind, I was like, you know, Paul sitting up there with his head cocked to the side like, yeah, I represent that sect. I represent the Nazarene gang. What? But anyway, after all that name calling, then they straight lied on Paul. Y'all with me? Y'all in Acts chapter 24? Because see, y'all think I'm probably reading from a script from, you know, some movie coming out. No. This from the Bible right here. And just truth be told, ain't nothing new under the sun. So all this stuff y'all see on TV, it came from somewhere. So after all the name calling, they straight lied on Paul. They said he desecrated the temple. I know Paul wanted to holler like he had done at the Sanhedrin court. He was probably like, I object, governor. They just telling a bold-faced lie now. I was letting the old boy, I was letting the little lawyer man do the name calling, and I held back. I ain't calling no whitewashed wall. But this little lawyer here, he done went too far now. But yeah, Paul didn't do none of that. I may have done that, but Paul didn't. I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't have done it either. But clearly for me to write it here on the blog and for me to say it on the podcast, clearly I felt some kind of way. So the thought did pop up for me to think about doing it. But I love how Paul shifted from hollering, you whitewashed wall, God gonna strike you. Like, Paul went from hollering to being calm, like Jesus. Paul said, oh, I'm glad to offer my defense in what concerns me. Like, Paul was real calm with it. He didn't even come hollering or nothing. in front of the governor, Paul was like, yes, I'm glad to offer my defense in what concerns me. Paul straight put the glasses on, put the three-piece on, and, you know, came in there correct, okay? So Paul goes on to defend himself. And the verse where he let them know for real, what was up, was verses 14 through 16. I'm going to read it for you so you can hear how Paul represented. So Paul was saying all what he's saying. He said, however, they saying all that stuff is not true. But however, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets. And I have the same hope in God as these men themselves have, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. Paul came with it. Paul was like, I worship God. I believe everything in his word. I have hope in God, and I accept and believe that there will be a resurrection, both of the righteous and the unrighteous. And I always strive to have a clear conscience toward God and man. Paul said, I even brought charitable gifts and offerings to the people. I don't know why I would do that if I despise them so much. Then Paul kept going. And as he kept going, I could just imagine the face of the lawyer man looking like he had just got punched in the mouth. Paul said, and furthermore, I'd like to point out that the men who seized me in the temple and accused me of wrongdoing are not even here. They sent this old slick lawyer and some folks who, truth be told, don't even know what they're mad at me for. None of them can even say what I have done wrong. Now, y'all know this is my version, right? This is my version. But if you studying with me, you read the same thing. You know, my translation might be slightly different, but that's pretty much what Paul said. So after Paul represented Jesus and said what he said, Governor Felix ended up postponing the verdict. What? Y'all know how we was all watching the OJ. And what if they had been like, we gonna wait. We not gonna give y'all no verdict. Everybody sitting around their TV waiting. What is gonna be? Governor Felix postponed the verdict. We don't read nowhere in this chapter where Paul got mad because of the postponement of the verdict. Instead, we don't read nowhere in this chapter where he started turning over tables, hollering and carrying on. We don't read that anywhere. But we do read that Governor Felix knew about the way. The way. When Paul was referencing the way, which is Christianity. That's what Christianity was called back then. It was called the way. So Governor Felix decides to put off making a decision until the commander who had sent Paul to him was going to come down, right? So let's get to the real Slim Shady of Acts chapter 24. So a few days later, y'all, after this happened, Paul's still in prison, but they weren't treating him like he was on lockdown. You know, they were treating him like we treat prison trustees. You know, we trust them a little bit so they can move around a little bit more freely, right? So a few days pass, and Governor Felix, along with his wife Drusilla, not the one from Young and the Restless, sent for Paul because he wanted to talk to Paul about faith in Christ Jesus. Huh. Okay, Governor Felix. You know what's up, okay? He wanted to have a conversation with Paul about faith in Christ Jesus. And y'all know, we know Paul loved having these type of conversations because Paul was on a mission. Paul was spreading that word, spreading the gospel. And in my mind, Paul got to preaching, okay? And when he got to preaching about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix got to squirming. Governor Felix got to squirming like, oh, okay, oh, that was, whoa, wait a minute. He got scared. He got so scared. He was like, all right, Paul, that's enough. You can go now. I'll call you. Don't call me. I'll call you. Don't we be like that when somebody be getting all up in our business and we don't want to hear the truth? We rush to get off the phone with them, or we avoid talking to them altogether. I know I've done that before. I'm like, I ain't even trying to hear you. I got one sister friend. She know I used to be real like, oh, I ain't trying to hear all that. I'll talk to you later. That's what you're talking about. That's what you called me to talk to me about. You called to tell me I'm not doing something right. Oh, nah. I'm going to talk to you later. That's how Governor Felix was. Paul telling him about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. And the governor like, nah. All right, then. That's enough. You can go on back to your little open prison or whatever. I call you. Don't call me. But here go the part, y'all, that got me. In verse 26, it says Governor Felix really wanted Paul to offer him money. So he really, he didn't want to hear what Paul had to say, but he would send for Paul often to have conversations with him in hopes that Paul would negotiate his release with some coins, with some dollars, with some mucho dinero. Okay. He wanted that money, but Paul was not about that life. Paul was like, I'm not finna give him one dime. So 2 years go by and Governor Felix is succeeded by another man named Porcius Festus. And because Felix wanted to do the Jews a favor, he left Paul in jail. He left Paul in jail. Did Paul show out? Nope. See, for real, who had him in jail? Not Governor Felix. He thought he was the one, but God had Paul there. God had Paul there. You remember I said in another post that I got something from one of the pullout stories in my Bible that even on the devil's best day, even on the devil's best day where he really think he done did something, even on the devil's best day, God is still using the devil's foolishness to accomplish his plan and his will. God providentially used this injustice, right, to move Paul toward the goal of proclaiming the gospel in Rome. And in Paul's day, Rome was the center of earthly power. Could it be that your unfair circumstances are part of a bigger plan of God? Would you chill out more if you knew that what you were going through as you were being obedient? Now, I ain't talking about what you're going through in disobedience. I'm talking about what you're going through as you're being obedient to God. That is all part of a bigger plan. Could you chill out more if you knew that? Well, let me tell you something. Take a chill pill, sis. Take a chill pill, bro. Because if you being obedient to the Lord, God does indeed have and is working his plan. You're going to be all right. All right, y'all. That's a wrap up for today's episode. These are your assignments for today. What did the Lord God say to you in your conversation with him this morning? Because I know you have an everyday conversations with him. And then number two, what do you need to stop worrying about and trust God's plan with in your life? What do you need to stop worrying about? Because as long as you keep worrying, you're going to keep hindering God moving in that very area. All right? Okay, y'all. That's all I got for you today. Listen, Acts 24 was, whew, what a way to kick off Friday, right? What a way to kick off the weekend with an amazing, amazing episode. Talking about Acts chapter 24 and then not worrying. So don't you go into this weekend worrying, okay? You better not do it. But one thing you better do is come back here tomorrow so you can get the Saturday morning episode of the On Assignment by God Daily Blog and Podcast. I'll talk to you then. Bye.